Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Christian faith was spreading, and Christians enjoyed a respite from persecution under Severus. With the growth of the Christian influence in society, the old religions clamored for the return of the old laws that were used by previous emperors to execute Christians. Fire, sword, beasts, or cruel imprisonments became common again. Persecutions were spreading throughout the Roman Empire. A woman named Perpetua was seized for being a Christian. She was about 26 years old, married, and had a young child not yet weaned. Her father tenderly loved his daughter Perpetua and consoled her during her confinement. He would try and try again to persuade her to renounce Christianity to no avail. Perpetua's resistance drew anger from her father, and he beat her and refused to visit her for many days. During that time, Perpetua and a few others that were with her were baptized. Up to that point, she and the others were only catechumens, meaning they were receiving instruction in doctrine and training in discipleship before being baptized. Brought before the proconsul Minutius, Perpetua was ordered to offer sacrifices to the Roman gods. Refusing, she was ordered to the dark dungeon, and her child was taken away from her. Tertius and Pompeius, responsible for the care of persecuted Christians, allowed her time in the outside fresh air, which also allowed her to nurse her child. But she knew what was coming. She gave her child into her mother's care. Her father comes again to visit and asks her to renounce Christianity. Perpetua had her will set firmly for Christ. She was willing to leave everything for her Savior and Lord. She simply would answer, "God's will be done." At her trial, the judge implored her to see her father's tears, look at her infant's helplessness, consider her own life. Sacrifice to the Roman gods, and you can go home free to your father, free to your child, free. Such sentimentalities would not dissuade her from her faith. Feelings and fear of mental and physical pain would not cause her to take her eyes from her Savior and the immortal life offered by Christ. Seeing that his daughter was going to die, he ran to her. Her father picked her up and tried to carry her off. Several severe blows later, he retreated and left her. Felicitas, another woman married with child, was entreated to sacrifice to the Roman gods like Perpetua. She would not consider sacrificing to idols, even for self-preservation. Delivering her child in prison, her little girl was adopted by a Christian woman. Revocatus, Satar, Saturnius, and Secundulus, along with Felicitas and Perpetua, were led to the amphitheater and gave their lives for Christ on March 8th in the year 2005. If you want to learn more, Fox's Book of Martyrs is a great resource. Christian faith may not seem to be a life or death decision today, but there are brothers and sisters in Christ that face death for believing in Jesus as the Christ. Persecutions are very real in this world, in this day and age, as they were many years ago under Roman rule, and years earlier under the rule of Darius the Mede. Persecution was to come. The common factor is that we, believers in one true God, will not worship false gods. There is only one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, The God we worship is the same God Perpetua worshipped, and is the same God Daniel worshipped. The God we pray to is the same God Perpetua prayed to, and is the same God that Daniel prayed to those many years ago in Babylon. As you may recall, Daniel was taken to Babylon when Jerusalem fell. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were taken into the king's service. They were given new names: to Daniel, the name of Belshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, the name was given Abednego. You remember Abednego. And from the very beginning of their time in the palace, Daniel, along with the others, would not defile themselves with the royal food and wine, and chose a special diet of fruits, vegetable, water. And remember, the four were healthier than the others after the 10-day test. And soon the four were rising in favor in the palace, proving themselves 10 times better than any enchanter or musician or magician in the kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that no one could interpret. Well, the king laid down the challenge, interpret my dream, but I'm not going to tell you what the dream is. The magicians, they couldn't figure out the dream, they couldn't interpret it. He had to tell them the dream so they could interpret it. He said he wouldn't tell them, and they failed miserably. The king ordered their execution. Daniel steps in and asks for the king to spare them and give him time. Daniel goes back to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and pleads with them to intercede with the Lord for mercy. That night, Daniel has a vision of the king's dream and praises God. In the morning, Daniel explains to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, that no man can tell the king the mystery he asked for, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Daniel then proceeds, gives the dream and the interpretation, and says that God has revealed what will come. Years later, Nebuchadnezzar has another dream, and Daniel interprets that dream true. More time passes. Nebuchadnezzar dies. Years later, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar, sees the handwriting on the wall, which Daniel will interpret for him. And that very night, Belshazzar sees the handwriting on the wall. He's slain. For Darius the Mede begins ruling conquered Babylon. Daniel has been serving in the palace of Babylon for more than 60 years. In other words, a lifetime. All those years, Daniel distinguished himself. His detractors could find no grounds for charges against Daniel. No corruption, no negligence. He had shown himself to be trustworthy over government affairs. And behind all of that was a deep-rooted faith in God. Faith bolstered by more than a daily prayer. Prayer morning, noon, and night. Prayer in the morning on his knees. Prayer at noon on his knees. Prayer at night on his knees with the open window facing Jerusalem, giving thanks every day, month after month, year after year. Even though he's a prisoner in Babylon, he worshiped the living God. So when faced with either forego prayer to the living God or face the lions, Daniel trusted the power of his relationship with the living God through the countless years of prayer on his knees. Praying to Darius was not even considered. Daniel knew the living God. He would never pray to a mortal man. As Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, Darius cries out, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." Darius was deeply troubled. He could not sleep. He tried to spare Daniel, but once a law is written and sealed, it cannot be undone. At first light, Darius runs to the lion's den. "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" And as he cries out those words in deep anguish, expecting no reply, a voice comes to his ears. "O King, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O King." Joy fills Darius' heart, and he orders Daniel's release from the lion's den. Lifted up out of the lion's den, Daniel was found to be unharmed. At the king's command, the false accusers and their whole families were rounded up and thrown into the lion's den. And even before they hit the ground, the lions were, well, being lions. In his great joy, Darius issues another decree. Daniel chapter 6, beginning at 26. "I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear God and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." Daniel was delivered from the lion's den just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were delivered from the fiery furnace. We look at their faith and see the deliverance wrought by faith in the living God. But I began this morning with Perpetua, a woman of great faith too. She was not delivered from death in the Roman arena. Was her faith not as great as Daniel's? She was newly baptized, and Daniel had a lifetime of prayer and worship. Were her credentials before the living Lord less than Daniel's, so deliverance was denied? Well, what about the qualifications of the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul? They were not delivered. What we need to look at is the action of the living God. Whether a person lives or dies is not important. What is important is that the Lord, the one true living God, is glorified. King Darius saw a man of faith, of good reputation, delivered. And he issued a decree that the people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. God brought glory to his name through Daniel. The Romans in the amphitheater saw the way the Christian Perpetua died. Perpetua and the other Christians with her were unwilling to bow the knee, offer sacrifices and worship to any of the many Roman gods, and steadfastly and lovingly long for the immortal life to begin with Christ, their Savior and Lord. Through their witness of life, words of testimony, and faith-filled death, God was glorified. Romans chapter 14, verse 8. "If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord." What does this mean for you? Your life's problems are opportunities for you to be a witness for the Lord. Really grab onto that. Your life's problems are opportunities for you to be a witness for the Lord. You may ask, how? Don't focus on the problem alone. Instead, focus on what the Lord desires to do through your problems, to lead another to faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again so it really sinks in. Don't focus on your problem alone. Instead, focus on what the Lord desires to do. The Lord desires to do through your problems to lead another to faith in Christ. Focus on how your struggles in life can bring glory to God and bring a saving faith into another's life. See your pain as a pathway for one more to meet the sweet Savior. See your suffering as setting the stage for one more lost soul to be saved. See your heartache as helping one more discover a home in heaven and head into the very presence of the living God. That one more may be your friend. That one more may be a nurse who cares for you. That one more may be an auto mechanic, may be the grocer, may be your teacher, may be your best friend's cousin, may be your son, may be your daughter, may be your grandson or your granddaughter. That one more may be the person you are thinking of right now. That one more. Jesus, the Savior, shed his blood, crucified on the cross, purchased salvation for you, and purchased salvation for that one more. The one more, that one more, meeting Jesus as Savior. That one more. That your problem, your suffering, your heartache can make a difference in them meeting the Savior. That one more will bring glory to God. Amen.